8599. Rex is a fully licensed brokerage. License number 1031120758.
NJDiet.com studios. 7. Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
In the house today is Juliet Huddy.
Oh, such a pleasure to be here, Curti.
One of the few who are flu-free here at WABC.
Yep, because I got my flu shot.
By the way, Bad Medicine, a Bon Jovi song, was brought to my attention yesterday as I was looking at a website of Guardian Angels in Australia.
Ooh.
Brisbane. That, yes, Bon Jovi himself performed in a Guardian Angels shirt. I'm, we're going to have to send that here to Justin B. Love so we could post that.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
They performed when?
No, this is a while back. This is a while back.
Do you like Bon Jovi? I mean, the band?
You'd never know that, the way I attack him. You mean...
Yeah, really?
Former Bon Jovi along with former Springsteen who get to write off all their property taxes because they claim...
wineries.
Right, the vineyards.
The vineyards, exactly.
The vineyards, no. I mean, the songs are okay. I hate Bruce Springsteen. I can't say I hate Bon Jovi.
Oh, I see, it's the opposite for me. I can't stand... Well, I mean, I guess there are a couple of the songs.
I really hate Bruce Springsteen.
Like the people or the bands?
Well, I hate, Stevie Van Zandt with the schmata on his head there with
what's
the
wrong
E
with you?
Band.
What's wrong with that? He's not wearing a red beret, so you have a problem with him?
He might as well be a communist, political ideology.
You're wearing the red beret.
Of course, I always wear a red beret.
Well, I know.
It does not.
Not me. I don't know.
It does not, though, stand for a political ideology that would put me into the hands of Fidel and Raul Castro behind the sugar cane curtain of Cuba. But we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you so we can pump out the 50,000 powerful watts of sound. Flu-free we are here, 12 to 3, with Juliet Huddy in the house. Before that, Rita Cosby
She's
for
healthy.
The full week, no flu, and it's as a result of the fact that we have Weisenheimers around here at WABC, many of whom think they know it all. They're pretentious a-holes.
Well, I don't know. Who would we be talking about,
Curtis? Let's start
with
Sid Rosenberg.
Uh-oh. Don't back off of Sid.
Who has been up, down, all around on a roller coaster ride, grappling with the flu and the grip.
Oh, my God, you're like an old Jewish lady down at the pool in Delray Beach.
So this is what he said to me about 3 weeks ago when I warned everyone, a pandemic is coming. You've got to take remedies to avoid this flu, and it's not a flu shot.
Okay, well, I got the flu shot, by the way, and I've been very healthy ever since.
Oh, wow. So what
not,
a sucker
I'm not concerned.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Look, it takes 12 weeks to incubate in your system, and I guarantee you, you'll come down with the flu.
If I do, I will... You win. I will do something for you. I will reward you.
You will be a sucker like anyone else out there
who
listens to the CDC, who initially said only 10% of this year's batch is working. Now they've bumped it up to, say, 37%. That means two-thirds are still not working of the flu shots that people are taking. And what you're doing is you're injecting the flu right into your system. So what do you end up with? The flu.
So you're saying 12 weeks. So you're saying, I think I got it December 20th.
Okay. You'll see.
So.
You'll see. You'll
it's almost like you're gleeful about it. It's sort of like you want this to happen.
Well, you'll be in the middle of putting your thong on and hanging out in Long Beach.
Because that's what. Yeah. Because first of all, I don't wear a thong, number one. I mean, I'm getting to the point where it's one pieces. But number two, I don't live in Long Beach anymore. You're aware of that, right?
Oh, but I mean, you're for nostalgic sake. You walk the boardwalk. You'll have
go
a little glass
Laurel
of wine.
Diner.
Right, a little glass of wine. You'll go to the beach. You'll have your thong on. You'll want to be taking in the rays, you know, with the opening of the
won't
beach
season. Won't
have
my thong on, I can assure you.
And you'll be sniffling, coughing, hacking. The rest of the beach will run away from you because they'll look at you as if you were Typhoid Mary, well, a.k.a. Juliet with the flu.
Wait, when did... So, but 12 weeks from... The time that I got it, so it was December 20th. I mean,
right.
It's not going to be beach time.
Well, by the time it kicks in, it will be.
By March?
Yeah. Well, remember.
We live in Miami?
Punxsutawney Phil came out, right?
Punxsutawney Phil came out, right?
The gerbil, the lemming,
yeah,
whatever
he's like
he
like a
was,
little sloth.
Out of his hole in Pennsylvania, and he said it's going to be an early spring, right? Didn't he say that? It's going to be an early spring.
I can't remember what he said. I never pay attention.
But anyway, okay.
Oh, no.
So
we,
here
no, we
it
have
is.
Six more weeks of winter.
You had Sid Rosenberg, who went down for the count, and in fact, it was Bernard McGurk who had announced that originally.
I was out last week with the flu. Bernie is out this week with the flu.
Oh, excuse me. They got it all convoluted. But the point being is, you now had Bernard McGurk out with the flu today. In addition, you've had Mark Levin. That's right. Out there in his bunker, wherever that is. He obviously has also come down with the flu.
I don't have a cold.
I have the flu.
Is now, he still working?
Yeah, on and off. He's had to take days off sometimes, as has obviously Sid Rosenberg. He took a whole slew of days off. Bernard McGurk, it was his first today.
This is like a Petri dish in this, because Bernie and Sid are in the studio right before we're in here.
But I warned them. I warned them the prophylactic measures to take, the preventative measures, and they all laughed at me. They laughed at me.
Well, because they're all, you know, they're very healthy. I mean, Sid, have you ever seen Sid? He's got, you know, the body of a 20-year-old.
He doesn't wash his hands. He's a barbarian.
He doesn't.
He's a Neanderthal.
Okay.
He shaves his cocktail onions with a Harry's razor. He's proud of that. That he's hairless below his navel, and then he doesn't wash his hands, the gavon. I mean, really, he's a barbarian.
He's hairless below his navel. How do you know that?
He talks about it all the time.
Oh, I've never heard him talk about that.
Oh, he talks about it. In fact,
manscaping never hurt anybody.
He doesn't even close the door when he goes to the men's room.
Wait, what?
He's an exhibitionist. He wants us all to see his schlong.
Oh, God.
Oh,
he does.
Oh, absolutely, Julia.
Over here, he doesn't close the door.
He does not close the door.
How do you know that?
Because I've walked in having to go to the bathroom.
Is that true, Justin?
He is an exhibitionist.
Oh, my God.
He wants people to see his schlong.
We're getting yeses, guns.
And I told him, every time he does that, I'm going to have to pull out the electron microscope, stain it with a little bit of red dye, because it's barely see. You know, he's a Jew. He had the bris, so it's barely recognizable, you know. But
Sid, if you're still here, you need to come in and slap this guy around a little.
He's had the flu, and they're taking off for President's Day on Monday. I'm not. But they're not able to brick it because they're very easy. I'm going to advise all of you out there who are dropping like flies because of this pandemic, the flu, is you've got to actually wash with rubbing alcohol. With rubbing alcohol.
Nobody's going to do that, Curtis. You're the only one that's going to do that.
No, I'm not the only one.
Well, you and Granny down the street maybe, but most people don't do that.
And then you take your pinkies, you put it in the rubbing alcohol, you put it in your nostrils, you rub it in there so it acts again as a filter. So when any particuli or bacteria or viruses or the flu you begin to inhale, it immediately whacks them. That's right.
But here's the problem.
As if Lysol is being sprayed on them in your nasal cavities. And if you're a Jew or an Italian, you got such a big schnoz, you may have to put two fingers up both nasal cavities.
But you understand, though, that your mouth is also an avenue ripe for bacteria, as are your eyes, which is a problem for me because I have the fake eyelashes, so I'm constantly separating them and getting them out of my eyes.
Don't orally fixate the one you're with. That's my advice. No oral sex during the pandemic.
Okay, that was a quick jump. I was talking about putting my fingers in my eyes, and I don't know where we're going with this one.
Oral fixation, right? If you have oral fixation, there's germs there. There's bacteria, viruses.
But we're
flu. Come on. You just got to give it up until the pandemic is over.
But I was just merely talking about putting my fingers
in
my eyes.
Just go with the straight missionary position until then. But no, some of you, you're like Michael Douglas. You have an insatiable appetite.
You've got sex on the mind today, Curtis.
I'm just telling
what
you.
What is up?
This is how this flu is spread. But nobody wants to listen to
sex.
Me. Nobody wants to listen to me. Although, I possibly will get some people listening to me tomorrow in Flushing, in Chinatown, in Lower Manhattan, and out on 8th Avenue in Brooklyn, because it is the year of the dog. And if I were a dog,
I love dogs,
in any Chinese neighborhood, I would be running for cover because a lot of Chinese eat dog.
Well, don't they also have that horrific festival
Yeah, I forget what it's called. Push you up doors.
Oh, it's disgusting. And I do have to say that wonderful woman out on Beverly Hills Housewives, Lisa Vanderpump, big effort to try to stop that. And I love her for that.
But it is the year of the dog, and I think it has more to do with all the dogs that have been exposed by the Me Too movement.
Amen,
and your ex-pal.
Baby.
All the guys who have been snacking on women like dogs in a dog pound who are in heat, who haven't been fixed or haven't been snipped. And now all of a sudden, it's the perfect time.
Wasn't there a snacker in the studio not too long ago?
Oh, there are quite a few snackers.
No. Not employed by Cumulus.
You want me to run through the litany?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
You mean Bill O'Reilly, who substituted for, that's right, Sid Rosenberg, or at least he thought he was, because Sid was out with the flu.
Where was he sitting?
I think he was sitting here where normally Noam Laden is. That's right. Noam Laden, who believes in liquid penicillin, kosher chicken soup, he has been gargling with it. He also has not come down with the flu. So that's his prophylactic measure.
Didn't get a flu shot either?
No.
None of you got flu shots?
No.
Well, I got one, and I'm going to be perfectly
healthy. Did you get any in your tuchus?
No. What? I'm like, well, yeah, not four.
Figure some perv doctor would tell you, I only give shots in the tuchus.
No, and if they did, there's always a nurse now, which is, you're in Larry Nassar.
Juliet, let me make mention that in light of the Asian Lunar New Year, the year of the dog, mm-hmm. I have one really upset rescue cat, a Siamese cat, Hercules. He is the patriarch of the colony that I live with and share the raising responsibilities with my girlfriend, Nancy Regula. And yesterday, you can go to the Curtis and Cosby Facebook page, and you can see that we had to take the Siamese cat in to the vet for dental work.
Aww.
He had to have his molars removed. And if there is anything that I am afraid of in life...
Dentist?
I don't go to dentists. I try to avoid them at all costs.
Curtis, I haven't been to the dentist, and I'm telling you, in like 25 years.
Well, see, that's how you... Kissing your husband, you're going to give him the flu.
No, I brush my teeth and floss multi-times.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes. So you're guaranteed.
They're in good shape.
So why don't you go to the dentist?
Because I'm petrified because I had a situation where I did have a tooth that I had to be pulled.
Yeah.
And she pulled it, but there was a nerve exposed. And so after the Novocaine wore off, I was in massive pain, but they had closed for the night. It was absolute hell. I had to find one of these emergency places. I never want to go back.
And everyone has had horror stories with dentists. So I avoid them. Meantime... Oh. My rescue cat, the patriarch of our colony of feral cats, Hercules, he manned up. As a Siamese cat, he traces his lineage back to the Ming Dynasty of Beijing, China. So he's like all into this year of the dog. He hates dogs. But the point is he's going to be at the Chinese New Year Festival tomorrow. And I want to give a shout out, if I can, to a great vet out there who helps rescue cats, cares for ferals like a lot of vets won't. He'll see a feral cat, he'll fix them, he'll provide them with medical attention that they need because these are outdoor cats. And he really came to the aid of Hercules. That's Dr. Nassar. Yeah, I know many of you are saying, what is that, like Nassar, you know, from Egypt? You know,
he's the antithesis.
Right, the guy who sat down with Menachem Begin and negotiated. No, I'm sorry, not that Nassar.
And not the other Nassar.
Exactly.
Certainly.
Exactly. It's Windsor Terrace Veterinarians, Dr. Nassar. And he just provided great service for Hercules, and he's done it for a lot of the rescue cats that Nancy has brought to him over the years and others.
That's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful that you guys do that. My mom is very into rescuing cats, too. I commend you. Can I just do a really quick plug for something for HMH Stage 17 that I shot? It has to do with this. Can I?
It better be synergistic here.
It is.
Because it sounds
to me
like
we're talking about
the
year.
Fit.
No, it does. We're talking about the year of the dog. Well, the year of the tiger is the name of the new solo album by Miles Kennedy, who is the lead singer of the rock band Alter Bridge, which I'm sure you like. And I just had Miles in here the other day at Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17, and you'll be able to see the performance, his acoustic performance. In the coming days on the website.
I fail to see the synergy.
Well, Year of the Dog, Year of the Tiger is the name of the album.
No. That's the Eye of the Tiger.
No, Year of the Tiger
the
is the name of the
song.
No, the Year of the Tiger is his name.
God. What a stretch.
Just try. Help me out here, man. Help me out.
You got to learn how to do a plug. It's got to be synergistic.
Year of the Dog, Year of the Tiger.
Year of the Tiger. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Up next, we're going to ask Juliet what it's been like for her and others who have had unwanted Amazon packages actually deposited on their porches. And they say, I didn't order anything from Amazon. And then when they open it up, it's sex toys.
Well, then how could it be unwanted? I'm just kidding, everybody.
Well, your case, that's why you never reported it. Our number is 1-800-848-9222. You are not going to go into any of those entertainment complexes, and if you become president and all of a sudden ban the sale of sexual toys, dildos, or anything that sexually stimulates you.
Look, of course not. It's a ridiculous question, and of course not what people do in their own private time with themselves as their own business, and it's none of government's business.
Now, that was Ted Cruz.
That's a ridiculous question, Curtis. How dare you?
No, it wasn't, because
I'm joking.
He was neck and neck in the Republican primaries at that time with candidate Donald Trump. And when he was coming into the Northeast, we realized that when he was Solicitor General in Texas, he went before the Texas State Supreme Court and looked to ban the sale of dildos and sex toys in entertainment stores. And also the possession of them. You know, he would rather you have like an AR-15 and an AK-47
yeah.
fully loaded with clips of 15 and 20 bullets.
Wait, what is his problem with it? What was his argument about this?
He apparently
has
morphed that position.
Oh.
He said, I was Solicitor General. It was my job. I'm not going to tell you if that's my opinion or not, but that's what I was expected to do by the state legislature is argue on behalf of the state of Texas before the Texas State Supreme Court. But I kind of gathered, just based on the fact he's such a holy roller, along with his dad, that he probably did want to ban sex toys and dildos and such, but he lost that case. Meantime, Jeff Bezos, who has passed Bill Gates as the richest man in the world from Microsoft, also Amazon has just passed Microsoft as the third most profitable company in the world, he's got a problem. People are receiving these unsolicited packages on their porches mm-hmm. all throughout the country that have sex toys. And they're naturally, it's an Amazon box. It's delivered mostly by United States Postal Service workers, but some Amazon workers. And people want to know, I didn't order
okay,
sex toys.
I know exactly what it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is, but you know what I'm saying. Is it one particular brand of sex toy?
I don't know. I'm not
because in my opinion, if it is, then
I'm not a curator.
Well,
when it comes to sex toys.
I'm just saying, had it been reported that it was, you know, Bob's big dildo shop.
Yeah, well, you're the cognoscente.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
but
oh,
I'm just,
yes, you are.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying, if it's one particular brand, then perhaps it's being sent out to get attention and get, you know, publicity.
I don't think it is. That's the fact.
So there's just some
people
Santa Claus of sex.
Well, when they're opening it up,
gifts.
It's sort of like, you know, when you got the box of Valentine's with the different chocolates in it, you know, different
uh-huh.
types of chocolates. Apparently, it's an Amazon box that has different types of sex toys in it, different brands, different shapes,
mm-hmm.
different functions.
Okay.
And Jeff Bezos hasn't been able to figure it out. Neither have the staff there at Amazon. And it's interesting because what would you do if all of a sudden on your porch – an unwanted, unsolicited box of sex toys arrived in an Amazon box.
Well, this is a family show, Curtis. I can't really talk about what I would do.
No, it's not a family show. Trust me, it's not a family show.
I mean, I would laugh. I would think it's hysterical. I think I would take pictures of it. I would tweet it, and I would laugh my head off. It would be highly entertaining.
Well, let me ask you a question.
But I have a very, you know, body sense of humor.
You would keep it.
I don't know that I would keep it. I mean, I guess if everything was wrapped up, you know, hermetically sealed, then, you know, or maybe I would give it away to somebody, but
would you send it back and say, no, that's not what I ordered. I ordered this sex toy, this sex toy,
no,
and this sex
no,
toy.
No, because I'm not, no, that's not my thing, but.
Okay.
No.
But you seem flummoxed on that question.
Well, no, I mean, I'm getting a little embarrassed talking about it just because I don't want to talk about my personal
peccadillos
or
anything. Yeah, you are redder than my red satin jacket.
Because I know my mother-in-law listens to this every day.
By the way,
I don't want to talk about it.
Were you and your mother-in-law at the Westminster Dog Show past week?
No, I can't go to those things.
I start itching.
I get like really, I don't know, there's some sort of dander there that I can't handle.
Well, you know, the Bichon Frise has indicated through its what can we say? It's friend. It's friend.
Oh.
It's handler.
Oh, yeah.
That he will not be going to Beijing Red China for the year of the dog because he knows in Red China they eat dog. So that's off. That's off the plate.
Protest.
Were you at any number of the Fashionista runway shows with the Trendoids, Freakazoids, and Jet Setters?
If I don't get the invite to be in the front row, no, I will not go.
Oh,
no.
Excuse me. What no, a
I will not be in the second
are.
Or third row.
What a diva you
heathens.
Are. You got to be up with the Kardashians, right?
Absolutely.
And then, by the
you
way.
You seen these legs? Just kidding.
By the way, were you sitting there watching the Winter Olympic Games, waiting for the pair in the single skating contest?
I have to tell you, I have not watched one iota of any of it except for the stuff that went viral about Shaun White, you know, his little victory thing. I thought that was cool. But I have
no interest in the Winter Olympic Games.
Absolutely no interest.
Very good. We have something in common. But
we have a lot in common, Curtis.
Explain to me, Juliet, why this St. Valentine's Day was doom and gloom for so many couples. When we come back.
Okay.
When we come back. Right. But first, let's get our news headlines and updates from Lisa Ritchie. No Rita Cosby today or for, well, I think for about another week.
She's healthy, though. She's not out sick.
So we got Juliet Huddy in the house, and it's perfect timing because the person she's guilty of having idolatry for, her role model, Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
And her husband are done. Right after St. Valentine's Day, they announced, that's it. I hate him. He hates me. We're going our separate ways. I've had it, and I'm not going back to Brad Pitt. It ain't one of those things.
Okay, first of all, Valentine's Day and anniversaries are the most brutal days when it comes to breaking up. These are the days that are typically the impetus for many couples to break up, because it's like you get to Valentine's Day, you're looking at the person across the table and you're just like, I hate you. And it's just, you can't fake it anymore. You're being forced. I mean, and that's what Valentine's Day really is. It's forcing sheep to buy cards and flowers and stuff like that.
So
no offense.
You've been down that road before.
It's an idiotic holiday, everybody.
So you've been at situations where there's been a romantic meal set up to celebrate St. Valentine's Day.
Well,
flowers, the accoutrements, the amenities. And you were at that point, forget it, buddy. It's over.
Well, that was actually my anniversary that I did that to somebody. But I did have that happen to me post-Valentine's
you
Day.
You did that on your anniversary? You couldn't even wait a day?
No. It was actually a good thing. He's thrilled. Believe me, it was a good thing for both of us.
If I was hitched up to you, I'd be thrilled,
no,
too.
No,
I'm out of here.
Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. No.
What a yankta.
Here's my thought process on this. Yeah. Just bear with me.
So neurotic.
No, just here's my thought process on this. Yeah. You know what? I want to treat people with respect. I don't want to treat people like they're going to fall apart if I break up with them, when I broke up with them. So I would be like, you know, look, you can handle this. I'm not going to tiptoe around it. It's obviously not working. It's our anniversary. This is done. So I'm going to give you the respect of not assuming that you're going to fall apart and you're going to go cowering into a corner crying like a baby. I'm just going to say it's done.
And I want the
space. Yeah. And I'll give you respect, buddy. I'll give it to you right now. We're done.
Wow.
I think that they appreciate that later in life.
That's cold.
No, it's not. Look, I don't want somebody being with me just because it's Valentine's Day.
So if the guy starts burbling and crying and saying, oh, but Julia, I live every day for you. Please don't do this to me.
I stand above them and I say, person, you're going to be happy. You're going to thank me. And that's exactly what happened, Curtis. This person thanked me.
Oh, you know what? If that were me, I'd be saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Juliet.
Please.
I'm now out of the gulag. I'm now free of my chains and shackles. I don't have to hear you nattering
away
morning,
noon,
and night.
My husband doesn't call it a gulag. He's actually quite happy with things.
But is that why all of a sudden a lot of couples are saying that Valentine's Day is boring?
Well, I think a lot of couples probably are starting to buy into my whole argument that they should join the resistance with the little emoji, you know, fist pump thing.
You mean against Trump?
No, against Valentine's Day. Mm. People, you're not sheep. You call on the show. I know that you have opinions. I know you're passionate. Valentine's Day is a stupid holiday. It's made up. Somebody is telling you, some executive, some CEO at Hallmark is telling you to show your love. He's forcing you to show your love under duress. I say join the resistance. No more Valentine's Day.
You know, you sound like you could have been leading the marches in Islamabad and Karachi in Pakistan where they wanted to ban St. Valentine's Day.
And I actually agree with that.
But you'd have to be wearing a shmata when you did that. You'd have to have the burqa on.
It's a start. It's a start.
Anyway, let's open up our phone lines on this. Wow, you are really anti-St. Valentine's Day.
My husband thinks it's the coolest thing. He thought this is the third year we've been together, and he's like, you know what? I actually thought this might be a joke. Like, you might be really tricking me here. But it's been 3 years, and he's like, you're sticking with it. I'm like,
our number's 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Now, in league with that, you're not quite a baby boomer, a hipster.
I'm not quite a baby boomer. You're right.
What do we call you?
Generation X.
Generation X, because you're not like me, a baby boomer.
Right.
You are Generation X, the lost generation.
I mean, I'm surprised that you're actually questioning that, but no, I'm not. I'm Generation X. But thanks a lot.
Why do you think it is that people in the generation of Justin B. Love, our producer, our phone screener, the hipster, the invader from Alabama, the millennials are saying that going out, particularly on St. Valentine's Day and other days, sucks?
Because it's crowded, everybody amps things up, the prices. And it's, you know, you can't get a reservation. If you do it too late, you're stressing out about it. Do you show up with a gift? Is she going to expect you to propose? Is she going to expect you to say, I want to be exclusive? It's just, it's a bunch of hooey.
Wow. You know, that means nonsense,
Justin.
You ought to be like the agents of vice and virtue. You know, the ones who fight vice and promote virtue in Saudi Arabia, where they walk around with a rattan in their hand.
No,
and in Tehran,
I'm
in
not
Iran.
I'm not resorting to violence. I'm resorting to verbal violence. I think it's important, Curtis. Honestly, I really do. Everybody's so, you know, you get all righteous about Trump, or you get all righteous about immigration and this and that, but you don't get righteous when it comes to being told by CEOs to go and show love to your loved one under duress.
Wow.
And I don't understand it.
Hallmark hates you. Let's go to Keith in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC, Keith.
Curtis, welcome back. I'm glad you're doing better.
Feeling great, Keith. Feeling great.
I got an interesting Valentine's Day thing for you guys. 21 years ago, I got divorced at 10 o'clock in the morning in Bergen County, New Jersey, with the ring in my pocket to get engaged 10 o'clock that night.
Wait, what? Wait, to engage to somebody else?
Engaged to my wife now.
All right.
20 years.
Hey, look. So, stuff
it's
happens.
It's kind of a weird Valentine's Day, right?
No, I think it's kind of, I mean, it's very modern.
See, you had the thrill of victory and the crushing defeat of a divorce, right? You finally were done with that and all the mishigash with it. And now you are on to a new relationship that has actually lasted
20 years and two other kids later. So
love is complicated, Keith.
Sometimes youth is wasted on the young. You know what I mean? I learned my lesson and moved forward.
God, don't I know it. Don't I know it.
I love listening to you guys. And Curtis, we met once before at in Ridgefield Park. We had a car show in the late fall, and I saw you and your son. You were up on stage. I had a hot rod purple pickup truck from 1930s.
Oh, yeah. I remember my son, Anthony, was all hot to trot on that pickup truck there. You know, he thought it was... he thought it had something to do with Prince. I had to explain to him.
That's funny.
Anyway, let's go, if we can, to Dan, who's calling from the Poconos, the sixth borough of the city of New York. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Dan?
Hey, Curtis and Juliet. Yeah, Valentine's Day is a nice day just to do a little extra splurge and make people feel a little extra special. And it's pretty much a women's day, but now brings up Men's Day in March. Now, if you Google it, Men's Day can be either March 14th or March 20th.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is this like basketball or something?
No. Men's Day is where men get treated like women get treated on Valentine's Day. Men get treated on Men's Day.
Why do we have to choose one day? Wait, why don't we just give love every day? Extra love every day. That's my
money.
Yeah, but that goes, Dan, that goes with what's happening now amongst millennial and hipster chicks. Women are proposing to their boyfriends. That's the latest Me Too culture shift, is the woman is being the aggressive one. She is actually getting down on her hands and knees. She comes with the ring. She sets up the meal. She proposes on the spot. Would you have preferred that, Dan, if it was the woman's responsibility to propose?
No, I like the old tradition. I'm more like you, Curtis.
I'm like that too, though.
You know something? I'd like the woman to propose.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold up.
I can
Nancy.
Say freaking no.
Oh, Curtis.
Yeah. How do you like that?
You would never say no to Nancy.
I'm not talking about Nancy.
Well, we could play a drinking game, actually.
What
we would get so drunk.
Are you trying to get me all hooked up? Married again?
Yes, I am, actually. I know you want to. You wouldn't talk about it on the air if you didn't want to. I bet you already have it planned. I'm sure you do.
What are you?
A soothsayer.
A shiksa? What are you going to do? Trying to do a match here? A matchmaker?
We just say yes. The match has already been made. You're very happy with her. You're very complimentary. We could all get wasted on a drinking game because you talk about her all the time. If you said Nancy Regula and that was, that we had to drink every time, we would be smashed at the end of a show.
I can't believe this. You're actually acting like you're some kind of a matchmaker.
I'm in an incredibly happy relationship after several defeats. You've had several defeats. I'm absolutely encouraging it. And she's wonderful. Nancy's just, she's so cool. She's just she adores you. She sticks by you.
Yeah, but you as a matchmaker, that's like made by the Wicked Witch of the West.
That's a bunch of, you know what, because actually I have set up 4 friends who have gotten married and are happy as you know what.
Yeah, and when they get divorced, hopefully
they'll
blame
for a long
it all
time.
On you in court. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're going to chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
6 minutes after the hour of one, that nut job, that screwball, that crackpot was obviously shooting for thrills. And the entire world is now focused on Florida and the expected arrival of our president, Donald Trump, who said he will be down there this weekend, Juliet Huddy, share in prayer with those whose friends, relatives, and children were killed by this maniac. Try to figure out with local law enforcement a plan to move forward. Although at this point, it's more about what to do about mental health issues the president has spoken about than any form of gun control. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to all of us to do this broadcast to you on the 50,000-powerful watts of sound by NJDiet.com. Wow, you look at the New York Post headline. The New York Post, I would say, has been the friendliest to the Trump administration of all newspapers out there. But when your house newspaper, and I speak that in a positive way because he really doesn't have many newspapers who put out his point of view, the other newspapers queue up to just bash and trash the president. But their front page says it all. Mr. President, please act. We need sensible gun control to help stop the slaughter. The New York Post is saying this.
Okay, but I have to tell you, and this is going to make a lot of our listeners very happy, I think this was such a spectacular failure. I mean, proportions that you are just unimaginable by the FBI. There's some news breaking over the wire now that on January 5th, so just basically a month ago, the FBI got a tip by somebody who was close to this Cruz kid. And this tipster said, look, this kid is erratic. He's been behaving erratically. He's been posting all sorts of disturbing social media messages. He's got guns. He's talking about wanting to kill people. He's actually making the threats. The FBI admits that this caller told them that he or she was concerned that this kid was going to attack a school.
Okay,
and
but
they
now,
did nothing.
I just
they didn't investigate it.
Clarify that, because originally the person who had reported to the FBI having seen a post by this
that was a blogger.
Screwball,
this is a different
was
person.
Was in Jackson, Mississippi.
This is a different person, apparently.
Completely different.
A local person who's close with Cruz.
All right, now. Ugh. In defense of the FBI, having actually been in the very small offices of the FBI bureaus, because we think FBI, this huge, there are more New York City police officers than there are FBI agents across the nation. And remember, they not only have the job of hunting down terrorists, like they did the two Toto boys there in the Bronx last night, the two twin boys.
Yes.
who are accumulating all kinds of chemicals to make weapons and bombs to launch a form of a jihad. We're not quite sure what their motivation was.
Right.
But clearly, I think we can all agree that is the first responsibility of the FBI is to keep us safe from terrorism. Then they have all the other responsibilities. Organized crime, we see in the Skinny Merlino case, deadlocked jury, political corruption, as we've seen now in the case of Joe Pococo, white-collar crime, Wall Street, hedge fund monster. We go down
I guess
and down.
I understand that. And potentially down there in South Florida, they're overwhelmed. My question is, if you're an FBI agent in South Florida and you're working on potentially deflecting from terrorism,
right.
But you get a call from somebody who says there is a situation that sounds like as though it is an active situation. Yeah. This is a big concern. Something is impending. There, there's doom impending. Do you not just put a pause and just make a phone call? Well, because had they done that, my guess is they would have found out 39 times in the last 7 weeks.
Right.
Officials had been to this kid's house. I mean, just one thing after the next.
I know, but a much better route to go, because they are so overwhelmed, the FBI.
And the FBI, to their credit, is admitting that this has happened.
And they get hundreds of calls every day. A lot of them turn out to be specious, and they just go on a wild goose chase. You have Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm Agency, right? Alcohol.
ATF,
okay.
Yep.
They're not going after moonshiners like they used to.
Right.
Although untaxed liquor, same with tobacco, untaxed,
busting,
right?
Busting kids out at the bars.
And firearms, obviously. Yeah. That's their primary focus. But they have so many impediments put up in front of them by states, particularly gun rights states. It's almost at times the ATF is dysfunctional. So hopefully the president can say, this agency, this group of people will deal with follow-ups on people, because we're saying, see something, say something, call it in, be the eyes and ears for us. There's got to be a central funnel of an agency that is devised specifically to handle these complaints and calls.
But again, my question here is, is there not somebody that sits at a computer and then you get a name? Okay, Joe Smith calls in about this Nicholas Cruz. All you have to do is type his name and you will see the number of times in the past 7 weeks, 39 times, the police have been to his house. To me, that's like, it's no-brainer.
I oftentimes bash the FBI, but having seen them and having seen how many responsibilities they have, I can easily see how this could slip through the cracks. Now, this isn't like the Chechen bomber boys in Boston where the Russians were giving us the information and saying, these guys
are here, yeah.
They're gonna do something horrible there.
Right.
That's a little different because that's coming from another country, obviously. But I got to tell you, Juliet, I've been in offices with the FBI where the phone doesn't stop ringing. They're getting all these calls, crazy people, people who are looking for love in all the wrong places.
I get it. I get it. I guess if I'm, I'm watching this mother who we're going to hear her sound, but you've probably seen her.
Oh, well, let's go to the audio.
Let's do it, yeah.
This is the mother of one of those who was slain at the high school by the nut job crews.
You don't have the support system that you need and the love and the kindness that we all need as children. Then you start dropping balls. And that affects who you are and that affects the people around you. And when your brain is not fully developed, you don't know how to deal with these things. When you have the lack of impulse control that a 19-year-old has, that affects the behavior that you exhibit. That's the child that I'm sitting across from. He's sad, he's mournful, he's remorseful. He is fully aware.
Now that, he's 19 years old. He's not a child.
And he's just a broken human being.
Now, let me clarify that, because I had announced that was the mother of one of the slain children who spoke at that vigil last night. That was not, in fact, that was actually someone who, when I saw her on TV, Melissa McNeil, she was the attorney assigned to him. What really threw me wasn't what she said.
Yeah.
I understand that's her job. She is the advocate for those who are being charged that maybe don't have money, don't have private counsel. She's doing this 24 times a day.
Right.
She then takes her arm and puts it around this monster and hugs him.
Well,
while the whole world is watching. This was a live broadcast.
But there's a reason that she did that. That is, I'm not defending her because I can't even understand how you can defend somebody like this.
I wanted to projectile vomit.
But her point is, it's the optics of setting up the defense for him down the road where she can try to get in somebody's mind that, oh, this, maybe somebody will believe her that this poor little child who's 19 years old, who slaughtered 17 people, and wrecked, you know, countless lives, you know, maybe he was damaged. Somebody out there is going to feel sorry for him. This is her strategy. That's what she's doing as a defense attorney. And it's a brilliant move.
She's not private counsel. She's representing Mutz and Skels 24 times a day.
But she also knows
that she doesn't know any of them.
The cameras are on her, and she knows that if she does a good job with this one.
Oh, well, see, that's it. Can I extricate him from the jaws of justice? And I will show sympathy and empathy that he does not deserve. Now, again, I've seen these kind of arraignments before. Whoever is the counsel assigned to the person who has been charged with just heinous crimes, they sit there very civilly, or they stand. They answer the questions of the judge. The person generally has to say something, the accused. Sometimes they don't, and it's only the counsel. But there's none of this hugging and high-fiving, and it's like this guy was her adopted son.
Well, but again, it's a strategy, and it's, you know, many attorneys would look at it, and observers would look at it and say it's a brilliant strategy.
Well, let's open up our phone lines to that. I mean, that would just made me want to retch.
Yeah, me too.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And then the very place I first met you, Juliet Huddy, I was on the set of Good Day Early Call New York for the many years that you were the hostess there in the morning. And I would come in Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the morning from about 4:45 to 5, as I do now. And one of the new hostesses, Jennifer, she said to me, she condemned me. She said, after I was commenting on that, why are you calling him a screwball, a crackpot, a nutjob? Don't you realize you're just perpetuating stereotypes?
What?
And that's why people aren't going to seek mental health. And I said, I call him that because he is that.
No, I'm not going to comment on that because I'm going to sound bitter, obviously, because of my history there. But that's just whatever. I'll let you comment on it.
It just I just broke wild on that. Anyway, let's go to George in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy today here at WABC. George.
Hey, George.
Hey, Juliet. I think you're right on with the FBI. This is a poor allocation of funds. If somebody called the FBI and said Trump was in the Russian tea room, they would have been down there. They would have turned the place upside down, and they would have arrested the waiters.
That's true. I have a feeling that's probably pretty true. Yeah.
That's what the problem is with the FBI.
All right, but George, do you realize how many calls they get every day about people who have made threats or perceived to be a threat to the community? Do you realize how many calls the FBI gets?
Hey, Curtis, if they took 100 guys off the Trump investigation, they could check all of those calls out.
No, that's what they specialize in. They have specialties. What you have to understand is you go into an FBI bureau, and there's specialists. There's those who follow terrorists, members of organized crime, white-collar criminals, political crime. Well, you don't seem to understand. And they don't have a lot of personnel. They don't.
Curtis, don't tell me I don't understand. I'm a defense attorney.
Well, why don't you go hug your fellow defense attorney down there, Melissa McNeil, who was grabbing onto this monster like somehow he was her son there, right? You think she did a good job for the whole world to see, huh, defense counsel George?
Hey, Curtis, are you sure they operated on your colon and not your brain?
Oh, well, you didn't answer the question. Do you think she did a good job for her client?
Hey, Curtis, that's up to her to determine, okay?
You won't criticize your fellow colleague, right? But you'll criticize the FBI.
Wait, I do want to know, George. I actually do want to know. So, because I'm saying, and I'm not supporting it, but I'm saying I think it was, you know, it's kind of a brilliant strategy. It's sort of a layup for down the road, defending this kid and making him look like a kid. You know, is in a defense attorney's mind, is that something that was a good move, you know, strategically?
Stop a second, George. Russians have just been indicted by a grand jury in Washington in league with what was happening here in America with wire fraud, bank fraud, aggravated identity theft. Yeah, maybe the FBI shouldn't be chasing Russians, right?
No, that's not the point.
No. Give up chasing Russians.
No, that's not the point, Curtis. The point is they need more people answering these phone calls.
Oh, yeah. But, I think we all agree with that, definitely.
What's wrong with the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Agency? The kid was being accused of having a weapon, which he had. They could have easily checked records in
because
Florida,
the person didn't the call ATF the ATF. Had. The person called the FBI.
That's because they don't know.
Overburdened
it's
FBI.
Like how many
I know,
times
I agree
have
with
you called 911 and the desk sergeant was, hey, you go calling the wrong number. He called 311 for that.
Yeah.
It's that there is no directive from Washington. Okay, we have a special agency that's going to specifically deal with this, and particularly when it's school-related.
Well, when we talk about reforms and trying to make things safer, that's definitely a step that we should take. Yeah, becoming a little bit more clear about the responsibilities for each department and each sub-department.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Grab us on social media. Twitter at 77WABC Radio. Facebook, like 77WABC. This hour is brought to you by Shell. Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards Program. Start saving on your very first fill and continue to save on every fill every day. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and save 5 cents a gallon today.
Now, you know, there were so many guys, I got to tell you, Juliet, Huddy, they were real poo-putts, real schlubs, real nebbishy. Could you give Juliet a little audio here so I can actually hear her along with the audience speak? But anyway, Juliet, they came out of St. Valentine's Day and they didn't deliver on what the love of their life had hoped, that opportunity to urge to merge.
Join the resistance.
And you know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Women begin to think, well, maybe is it me?
Oh, 100%.
And it's not. Now, ladies, I'm telling you, it's not. Because
sometimes it is.
Oftentimes it might have been that the guy came from the vet and instead of the cat or the dog getting fixed and snipped, maybe he got snipped. Wrong. He could, though, have low levels of testosterone as a result of the aging process. Or maybe, like myself, he's gone through invasive procedures and all of a sudden he's still zeroed out with testosterone. You would never know that. But a blood test will tell you that. In fact, I've had so many of them where all of a sudden my doctor would say, man, you need to pump up the volume. You need to take testosterone. But I won't take shots. It's not because I'm afraid of needles. You don't get the same response with the shots as you do with the supplements. That's why I use M-Drive. And it's so easy to use because you can purchase it right over the counter at Duane Reade or Walgreens, Vitamin Shop, GNC. And if you look at yourself in the mirror, it looks like, whoa, what happened to me? I'm looking like my grandpa here. My muscle mass is shrunk. My strength, my stamina, endurance, and vitality is a dollar short a day late. And my recovery time on injuries now is trebled. You need M-Drive. And if it doesn't work out for you in 60 days, you get your coin back. There's a personalized website. It'll give you a 25% discount. That's ordermdrive.com. That's ordermdrive.com. All you have to do is type in my name. That's C-U-R-T-I-S. And ladies, don't blame the guys. They're interested in you, but if they're zeroed out on their testosterone, I got to tell you, they're like a eunuch. They're like impotent. I know. I've been there. So help your guy refine his drive by getting him M-Drive. That's right. Preemptively do that. And guys, if you're in that situation, I empathize. I understand what you're going through. But don't just sit on the sofa, watch TV, and slurp beer. Refine your prime. Go out and
good.
Get yourself some M-Drive.
It must be like Putin that.
Oh, this shout-out, this song is played especially for Defense Attorney George, who just called in.
With my glow stick.
Who said, why are we wasting 100 FBI agents on researching Russians interfering with the recent presidential election? I tell you why, George. While you were running your gums and blaming the FBI for the crazy who killed the 17 in the high school in Florida, those FBI agents did their job. The information went before a grand jury in Washington, and there are a series of Russian nationals who have just been indicted for interfering with the Trump-Clinton election. Now, that doesn't mean they were colluding with Donald Trump.
Right.
They were interfering with the entire general election.
But where are their tentacles, and who did they touch?
We're awaiting. We're awaiting the announcement from the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, as we speak. Meantime, also, you know, the Russians have been trying to influence the NRA. They've been very supportive of the NRA. In fact, it was felt that they may have, what can we say, laundered money towards the NRA. But here's like one of the big spokespersons for the NRA. I think they've given him about $3.3 million in his various political endeavors. U.S. Senator of Florida, Marco Rubio.
And the struggle up to this point has been that most of the proposals that have been offered would not have prevented not just yesterday's tragedy, but any of those in recent history. And I'm going to say now what I'm going to really emphasize at the end. Just because these proposals would not have prevented these does not mean that we therefore just raise our hands and say it's, therefore there's nothing that we can do.
Well, perfect example, Julia, because you lived in Florida. You were in Miami. You grew up there.
Yep.
The kid, I call him a kid, he's 19. But the teenager, when he was 18, walks into a gun shop, is able to buy an AR-15, does not have a criminal record, nothing to be flagged on, and walk out with magazines with 15 to 20 shots per magazine. And yet if he had said, you know something, it's a little bit too big for me, you know.
I want a wee gun.
I just want a handgun, you know, for protection, home protection. I've had a few home invasions, you know. I'm living there with, you know, older parents.
Yeah.
You realize they would say to him, no, you got to be 21 to have a handgun. Now, a handgun and a shotgun you use for protection. An AR-15 and AK-47 is a weapon
of
war.
An offensive weapon.
Right. So why would you be selling an 18-year-old an AR-15 or an AK when you won't even sell him a handgun? So you would think, hey, common sense should prevail here. It's like, what's more dangerous to society, a handgun or an AR-15 or an AK or an assault weapon?
You know, do you ever... You went to college, you ever studied game theory, you know, that whole like expected utility, you know, the value of a situation and you're based on risk and preferences and all that stuff. It kind of goes down to, you know, there's been so many studies, so many statistics, so many theses done on gun control. And the fact is it always says the same thing. Every single one says the same thing. Changing things depends on a number of factors. It's not just about, you know, providing people with defensive weapons. And what, you know, the effect that it has on people who have the offensive weapons. It's all sorts of things, you know, mental illness. All of this stuff goes into it's a very difficult question. But there are things that we can possibly do. Well, to me, it seems for these school shootings,
well, definitely
perimeter of a huge fence, almost like a prison around the school. You've got an armed guard there. And to get through, you'd have to shoot that armed guard to get to the next armed guard, which is going to be letting you into the school and another. You know.
So basically, it's like getting onto Rikers Island.
Yeah, but honestly, if I had a kid, I'd be saying, sign me up.
All right.
I mean, I'm sorry, this is the way life is.
Let's go to Dan in Key West. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC, Dan.
Key West.
Yeah, good afternoon. The FBI totally blew this. It wasn't that there was one call. The authorities were out to this guy's house 39 times. Now, they should have did a background check, and if they did find a background check that he did own a weapon, they should have moved on from there.
No, hold on a sec. You say the local authorities, which have nothing to do with the FBI, the local sheriff's department, Broward Sheriff.
They both blew it. They should have notified the FBI. And the FBI also went and the guy put the YouTube thing. They interviewed the guy from the YouTube thing.
Dan, I'm a Broward County deputy sheriff. I'm responding to a call. There's a problem at this house. I come across this Cruz teenager. And maybe an adult or whomever. How am I to know he's had mental health problems? There's nothing. There's no registry of that.
But can he run? That same deputy can run a check and see that he has a gun.
Exactly.
Right. But he's legally a gun owner.
But if he's
a gun owner. But once the authorities are called to your house 39 times. Red flags.
Five times. Two times. I mean, if you've got a kid who's proven to be unstable, who's proven to be violent, and he's proven it over and over and over again on social media for all the world to see,
what's the pause? Do you take his weapon and his ammunition? What are the grounds?
That's,
the legal grounds.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we have to start with.
It's got to be.
Those are the changes that we have to start
complaint.
With.
Was he charged with domestic abuse? What was he charged with? In every one of those 39 times that they came to his door, they didn't arrest him, did they?
We don't know.
No, but he's got no criminal record that we know of.
I understand what you're saying, Dan. It's just a failure on law enforcement.
Blame the FBI.
They are to blame.
Blame the nut.
Well, of course, Curtis. Of course, but okay, if you're a parent, if your kid was killed, you're going to be sitting there blaming the
blame the FBI.
Could have stopped it.
Blame the
FBI. Of course, well, yeah.
Do you know how many kids there are like that in every neighborhood in America? Do you realize how many kids there are?
Okay, but you know what, Curtis? How many kids had the authorities come to their house 39 times? How many kids posted on social media that they wanted to be the next school shooter? Give me a break.
Excuse me, Juliet. In our neighborhoods in New York City, do you know how many police responses come to houses where teenagers have been disruptive or there's a problem with their parents or maybe they had a fight or an argument?
I understand what you're saying, Curtis, but the fact is what I'm saying is change the situation. Change the protocol. You know, if you're somebody who's taking medicine, you know, for mental illness
There needs to be. That's what I'm saying. There needs to be. People are going to say that's private.
I don't care.
Because a lot of people are not going to seek mental health care if there's a registry.
It's a vicious circle. I get it.
Right. So there is no one person to blame here. Let's stop blaming people. Let's blame the person who got the AR-15, went into that school, and decided to shoot these kids in cold-blooded murder. He plotted this out. He planned it out. Let's not blame the FBI, local authorities, mental health, because we always want somebody to blame. You notice that? We always want somebody to blame.
I guarantee you, Curtis, if your son, God forbid, something happened to one of your kids, I feel like your head would think about this differently.
No, because up next, we have somebody here at WABC who is such a loony kazoony. Wait till you hear what he blamed it on. Now, I know there are a lot of loony kazoonies, including me here at WABC, but when you hear what he blamed this on.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Hey, defense attorney George, you're still riding around out there. Stop picking on him. Why do we got 100 FBI agents chasing Russian collusion in the general election? Well, guess what? Special Counsel Robin Mueller's office has a grand jury that they've put together that has indicted 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian entities for interference in the 2016 presidential elections, during which they boosted the candidacy of Donald Trump.
Yes.
But we shouldn't be paying attention to that. Oh, no, not at all. Why would we have FBI agents following up leads on that? Right, George?
All right.
Speaking of stunads.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday, naturally, it was wall-to-wall coverage of people's opinions, both callers and the hosts and hostesses here at WABC, of what had transpired at that high school in Florida, although we have every 3 days another school shooting, not to the extent that we saw the other day with 17 dead and others injured, but every 3 days is another shooting at a school. And Michael Savage, who follows us from 3 to 5,
yes,
he naturally had people to blame, too, and things to blame. Listen to this one.
And by the way, while we're at it, was he on medical marijuana?
What?
Oh, you crazy, Savage. Marijuana makes people peaceful. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The new strains of marijuana are so powerful, it makes people paranoid and insane, by the way. And while you're at it, research this. You know what hashish? You know what hashish is, right?
Oh, boy.
Do you know where the word hashish comes from? It's from the Arabic.
It's from the Latin for hashish.
Its root is assassin. Because from Middle Ages on, Arabic assassins smoked hashish before going out on killing sprees. Did you know that? To make people totally crazy and able to commit mayhem.
Let's get some hashish.
Oh, my God. First of all, we don't know if he was on any substance. We don't know if he had alcohol, drugs. We don't know any of that. But here's Michael Savage, right? As many of you call him Dr. Savage, you can doctor this, pal. Could I hear that again? Please, I want to hear from the guy that all of you call a doctor who knows nothing about nothing.
And by the way, while we're at it, was he on medical marijuana? Oh, you crazy, Savage. Marijuana makes people peaceful. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The new strains of marijuana are so powerful, it makes people paranoid and insane, by the way. And while you're at it, research this. You know what hashish? You know what hashish is, right? Do you know where the word hashish comes from? It's from the Arabic. Its root is assassin. Because from Middle Ages on, Arabic assassins smoked hashish before going out on killing sprees. Did you know that? It can make people totally crazy and able to commit mayhem and murder.
There's so much misinformation out there about marijuana and also medical marijuana. Guess what we're doing at WABC? Although we don't have all the details, I'm just giving you a heads up.
What?
We're going to have another extravaganza at the Cutting Room on March 19th.
A weed extravaganza?
I will be hosting it along with Rita Cosby. And instead of pubs and politics, it will be pot and politics. So we will have spokespersons for the legalization of recreational use of marijuana, hot issue in New Jersey, where Governor Murphy wants it legal and will try to force it through the Democratic-controlled legislature. And here in New York, will become part of the gubernatorial election taking place as Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo tries to get reelected, and it will be a primary issue of the many that they discuss.
That'll be good.
Remember, mark it on your calendar now. We'll have more information next week at the Cutting Room on March 19th. Instead of it being pubs and politics, the norm, which we normally pack the house, it'll be pot and politics.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
But anyway, let's go to the phones. And it's John, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC, John.
Hey, guys. You know, I have a question for you. But before that, since you were mentioning pot, you know, they did say he went to Subway. So I'm sure he was smoking. And Trump's going to say he was an immigrant criminal, you know. But here's the question. If, you know, they're talking about locking down the schools and all sorts of high-tech metal detector, gun detector things and security guards, but let's say the school that psycho, sicko shooter can't get in, what's to stop them from camping out outside the school when the kids come out? Like, is that the solution?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just, it's kind of the same argument as, well, if it wasn't a gun, he could have rented a box truck or he could have built a bomb. But the fact is, we're talking about specifically the gun situation. It's a point, though.
You said put up a fence around the campus with an armed officer and the entry and exit points. Okay, I get that.
Well, but it's like the same thing if you go into whatever, a sports arena.
A lot
of
the kids in high school, they have driver's licenses. They go into the parking lots.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The guy could be in the parking lot and then just start spraying them.
Listen, I'm not...
Or the carpool line, like waiting for little kids.
Or the line to get in to going through that one thing. I know. I mean, I get it. It just seems... you know, we're a country of very intelligent people and very thoughtful and passionate people. Somebody somewhere has got to have the, you know, we send people to the moon. Somebody's got to have the solution. It's got to be out there.
Build a wall.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think the better route to go, but we don't want to spend the money because I guess our kids aren't as valuable to us as those of us who fly, is that there should be on every tier of the school an armed officer, whether they're private security, whether they're a retired cop, whether they're an active duty cop. And that's their area of patrol, that floor.
Yeah, but the thing is, getting into the school.
Right. So let's say the guy, in this case, he pulls the fire alarm, which causes the kids to exit. And then in this case, in Florida, he starts gunning them down. There was a armed police officer on the campus. He just was not in proximity to where the gunman started to launch his attack on those kids who were running for what they thought was a fire alarm. You know, that there may have been a fire, so they're already moving in his direction, and he's just gunning them down like ducks right in a pool. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Hickory, who I believe is calling from Bay Ridge. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Hickory.
Hey, hello. Curtis, you have been my hero since I was a child in the 70s or so.
Aww.
It's an honor to speak to you. And the thing about the gun control and the mental health debate, I'm a Southern guy who lives in New York, and I get in arguments and debates that turn into arguments with friends a lot about gun control and mental health, because we can do something with guns, but the cat's out of the bag. So what can we do? And then with mental health, you know, these days nothing's covered by your insurance, no matter what kind of job you have. So it's harder for people to get mental health. And, I mean, I was a weird teenager because I became a songwriter early, and my mom was worried that I listened to Pink Floyd and Iron Maiden too much. But she spoke to me about it, and I told my mom, like, hey, no, these are not suicide notes. I don't want to go to school and kill anybody. This is just, I'm writing it out.
All right, so you see, he didn't have that kind of a family. We know that. It was a very dysfunctional family. But there are a lot of kids who come from dysfunctional families who don't get an AR-15, walk into the school they were kicked out of, and blast as many people into the hereafter as they can.
I think that that they're just, you know, the students like this and like Dylan Klebold and, you know, and all these other kids, Sandy Hook, they stand out. And everybody knows they do, and nobody wants to say it. I mean, well, people did say it down in Florida, despite what the president said or alluded to.
Well,
but
you may have to have somebody assigned to the school who vets out all the kids on a regular basis, who has access. That's the other thing we're not talking about, access to social networking like parents do. A lot of parents, they want to see what the kid is posting on the various internet sites that the kid may be using, Instagram, Facebook. They want to see everything. I think we're going to have to violate the rights of some folks in order to protect the mass majority of folks, because if they're coming out with outrageous, what appear to be violent fantasies that they really want to put into effect, we're not talking about somebody who's just fantasizing but really wants to do these things. It's got to be a way of detecting that. And if they're posting
it. I know, but the thing is, you know, but if you're on Facebook, you know that there's a little option for you to send out a post. But then if certain people, you don't want certain people, like mom and dad, to see it, you can just. So it's like,
understood.
Where do you begin?
It's a complicated issue. When the president arrives there tomorrow, he's going to have his hands full. Because right now he has no answers other than we'll pray. We'll offer condolences. We'll talk about mental health. But he slashed the budget for mental health. So if you're talking mental health, then, Mr. President, you're going to have to find a way in order to fund more mental health initiatives that might be able to give people relief before they reach a point like this where they claim they're hearing demons and they pick up an AR-15, go into a school they were kicked out of, and kill everybody that they can look at. President is heading down to Florida. There are a number of problems that he is dealing with that have absolutely nothing to do with domestic violence, what he leaves behind.
Well, they're domestic.
In terms of what happened, in terms of knowing when Porter had assaulted his previous wives, when they had the documentary evidence, particularly his chief of staff, Kelly, and his girlfriend, Hope, who is the PR director for the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously now with the shooting in Florida, what to do, because the president so far, other than giving condolences and feeling the pain of the loss of the community, has suggested that we need to focus on mental health. But there's been no discussion about gun control or aspects of that. A problem he has that has exploded ever since the Wall Street Journal released a report, which he called fake news. And it was really surprising, because I would have thought back then, Juliet Huddy, it would have either been the New York Post or the Daily News, you know, a tabloid that would have released the story originally about the performer. We'll call her the performer who likes
Stormy.
To show her bazoonies.
Porn actress, yes.
The Wall Street Journal said that Michael Cohen, the personal attorney of the president of the United States, just weeks before the general election, had set up an LLC in Delaware for the purpose of transferring money to Stormy.
Mm-hmm.
She was listed under a different name.
Right.
From Donald Trump, presidential candidate. He was still Citizen Trump at that time. And that he had facilitated that. He said, though, that no affair had taken place, that they had never had sex, nothing like that. But he did not deny the transfer.
Okay.
So naturally, other media outlets picked up on that, because the president made a mistake of calling the Wall Street Journal's piece fake news. And, you know, that just enticed the other media folks who really hate the president to throw everything into the story, all the resources. And Michael Cohen told the New York Times that, no, it did take place. The payoff did take place. But it was my personal money, $130,000 that I took out of my pocket, unbeknownst to the president of the United States. I decided, because it was right before the election, that even though I felt this was specious information, these were lies, these were innuendos,
so
there
were
no truths here.
A nuisance payoff is what some people call it.
I guess you could say that, a nuisance payoff.
We just don't want to, you know, rock the boat right now. Things are going smoothly, and this... it's just going to deflect and take attention off. It's not true, so let's just make it go away.
Okay, so that's fine.
Excuse me.
Except you're an expert in one particular aspect of this that has now surfaced, because Stormy has said, wait a second, now that Michael Cohen has spoken to the New York Times and explains that it was his money out of his personal pocket, and he was never reimbursed by either friends of Donald Trump or Donald Trump himself. Mm-hmm. He has broken that confidentiality agreement that I had signed, that I've been very evasive about. In her many appearances, she just didn't ever seem to answer a question head on.
Correct.
So she is saying now, through her legal counsel also, that she is free to talk about this affair that she had had with the president of the United States that may have extended for a year or more.
Well, as you know, has been reported that I had signed a non-disclosure agreement with my situation with Fox and Bill O'Reilly, for instance. The fact is that he was out there talking about his accusers and calling them liars and all sorts of things. And then President Trump jumped on the bandwagon as well. That, to me, suggested a breaking of the non-disclosure agreement. And so that's why I've been talking about it.
Okay. So based on your knowledge of the non-disclosure agreement, is she fully within her rights now to go public with whatever she wants
to say? Well, I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, I think she is. Yeah.
Okay. What would have prevented her, though, before? Explain that, because I don't understand. Is Michael Cohen admitting
what would
the payoff was made?
Well, you typically, when you sign a non-disclosure agreement, you're also, let's say, in my situation, you're saying, I'm not going to talk about this situation publicly. I'm going to, you know, essentially act as though it never happened. Keep it out of the head. Like, I can't even talk to my parents about this or my husband about this, much less the public. And if I do, Fox will come after me for, you know, let's just throw a number out there, $500,000 every time I say something that they deem breaking the non-disclosure agreement.
Okay. Now, when you first signed the agreement, mm-hmm. it wasn't the climate that it is now. I mean, ever since you signed the agreement, a floodgate of allegations.
Right. I didn't know that there were many, many other women who had signed non-disclosure agreements, with, in particular, specifically about Bill O'Reilly, and accused him of doing the same things
that I did. Understanding that whoever tries to step up and sue an accuser now, based on the fact that they signed this confidentiality clause that would keep things quiet till the day they die, do you really think that Fox News Channel or Bill O'Reilly would risk the kind of negative fallout?
To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure, because I've been very surprised at some of the actions by Fox News Channel, in particular promoting to CEO, the head of Fox News Channel, the guy, one of the two people that I accused of sexual harassment.
Ah, I see.
He's running the show there. So I don't know what they are doing. But the fact is, and I'm not happy to say this. I'm not proud to say this. It sucks. But they've wrecked me financially. Mm. And so they have nothing to, they can come after me, but they're not going to get anything. I don't have anything.
So this may well be the situation for so many other women who have also signed these confidentiality agreements, and that's why they don't come forward. Even in this climate now where walls are coming down, where it's almost like every day.
They're petrified that they're going to be destroyed financially, like me. They're also petrified that they're not going to potentially get another job because their reputations will be ruined by the machines that back up these companies and these power players, like my situation, for instance. So there's a lot of fear. That's the whole point of non-disclosure agreements. It's putting the fear of God into you that you better keep your mouth shut.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Well, that's the case that most people have become familiar with simply because the stripper has made many public appearances and has teased us about what may or may not have happened with Donald Trump, the citizen, years ago.
Right.
But now we see the former Playboy model Karen McDougal, who claimed that she had a year's affair, or about a year time back in 2006 with Donald Trump when he was married, that she is coming forward and explain her unique situation, because she actually got paid, but not the conventional way, like through an attorney who was negotiating. Yeah. She actually got paid by the National Enquirer.
Okay, so whether you love Donald Trump or you don't, you have to admit that he has a cozy relationship with the National Enquirer, specifically David Pecker, who is the CEO of the National Enquirer. And it's basically American Media, the company that has the National Enquirer, and I think OK Magazine or something. You know, a lot of those things that you see as you're checking out of the grocery store at the checkout stand there. So apparently this woman, this 46-year-old former Playboy model, Karen McDougal, was paid $150,000. Now, that's she probably got about $80,000 because of taxes and paying off attorneys and so forth, by the publisher of the National Enquirer for any account of the affair that she had with Donald Trump. So basically what they did was they got all of that information. They said, you cannot speak about this ever again. Plus, we're going to give you money not to speak about it ever again. We're also going to give you a fitness column in one of our magazines. I think they also have men's fitness, but in exchange for that, you have to keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word.
So they basically, the publisher of the National Enquirer became an agent for Donald Trump.
Well, you would think that they just became an agent for themselves. Like, they've got this juicy story.
Right,
now,
right.
This is the exclusive. But no. They buried it, much like they have buried everything that has to do with Donald Trump if it makes him look bad.
Ah. So they paid the money.
Yeah.
They got her to sign the confidentiality clause, right?
Right.
So that she wouldn't say anything to anybody.
That was the exchange. She gets money for her silence.
So why do you think she is speaking out now? And she's being very specific. In fact, she is saying not only did she have an affair with Donald Trump, she traveled the country with him. She sat at tables in which his youngest son was at the time. His youngest son, not Barron, but Eric, who we just interviewed earlier in the week with Rita Cosby. That, in fact, she was introduced to family members. And this is while he's married to Melania.
Yeah.
So you're saying to yourself, wow, all these people would then have to come forward and say she's lying. And there's got to be documentary evidence, probably pictures
well,
and such, and others who saw them together.
That's the thing. If you're going to go out and you're going to break this confidentiality cause, and they come after you, American media comes after you for whatever, you know, $100,000 for every time you break the clause. I mean, the fact is that then you go to court and all the bets are off. Then all the info comes out. I mean, the thing is, I know a lot of listeners are probably saying, well, we don't care if he had an affair. It has nothing to do with the way he runs the country. And to a degree, I believe, I actually agree with that. I care, but I don't care. I mean, it doesn't make him look great. Doesn't make Bill Clinton look great. But it's sort of like, I focus on how he's running the country. But what you do, I think, have to focus on is the fact that he has a cozy relationship with a media giant, this media titan, David Pecker. And what is, you know, what's going on with that? I mean, can that influence outcomes of elections? Well, interestingly enough,
that's what Bibi Netanyahu is being charged with in Israel, that he set up a cozy relationship with one of the major publishers there, who would then publish only positive profiles of him, and
right.
In return, he did them favors. He may well lose the prime minister slot as a result of that. He may well be indicted
by the
attorney general in Israel for that.
This doesn't, I don't know, maybe I'm being naive, this just doesn't seem like politics as usual. One of the, a former staffer for the Enquirer said, you know, it's the Enquirer. We always go after the newsmakers.
They got John Edwards, then the presidential candidate.
I mean, like across the spectrum, whether you're a conservative or whatever. I mean, across the spectrum, they'll go after you. If you've got baggage, it's like catnip to them. But there's one exception, Donald Trump. They look the other way. And not only do they do that, but they go hardcore after Hillary Clinton, calling her a lunatic, suggesting that she's, you know, on her deathbed. She's got 6 months to live. They have all these little catchy phrases that they use.
Worse yet. Remember, there was that famous time right before the Indiana primary, when it was neck and neck with Ted Cruz. You know, it was a very competitive Republican presidential primary up to that point. The National Enquirer all of a sudden did a story suggesting that Ted Cruz's holy roller father, who was with him every step of the way in Iowa, where Ted Cruz won the Caucasoid caucuses, that his father was aiding and abetting Lee Harvey Oswald in the assassination of JFK. And remember, this is what Donald Trump said about it.
His father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
This is what I talk about when I say it jokingly, but in some ways, I guess I'm being sincere. The sheep aspect of this, you got to just question this type of stuff. I mean, whether it comes from Fox News or CNN or the National Enquirer, I mean, you really have to, before you start jumping to judgment and jumping to the polls, really research this stuff, people. You're not sheep. You have brains. Use them.
Well, I think the danger here
crazy.
Is because naturally, if you supported Bill Clinton, you made excuses for his behavior. With Donald Trump, you make excuses for his behavior.
Again, I don't care what they do behind closed doors. I really don't care. But this thing, this American media thing,
is
weird to me.
Negotiations,
it's just sketchy.
to make it go away. You could be blackmailed one day.
Yeah.
You're subject to blackmail, depending on what's involved, what the person is alleging took place. Maybe it was S&M activity, bestiality, who knows? And then all of a sudden you make a settlement in order to try to put a lid on it. And somebody else finds out about it and then can hold that over your head.
But I still think even if that this information comes out, I just don't think that that Donald Trump's, I mean, he has ardent supporters. You guys, a lot of you folks are listening.
Let's find out from our many listeners here, because obviously these are two bombshells back to back, belly to belly. Maybe many of you who support Donald Trump don't care. You say he didn't do it in the White House like Bill Clinton did with Monica Lewinsky with the cigar, while Yasser Arafat, Rabin, and his vice president, exactly. Perez, were waiting outside on the lawn to announce a potential peace in the Middle East between Palestinians and Jews. But then Bill was very interested in that Cohiba cigar and
all right,
below
we know.
Monica's navel. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe. Joe calling from Asbury Park. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Joe.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good, Joe.
So I just want to make a comment to Juliet. You're saying that Trump has a National Enquirer in his back pocket, or it's a little suspicious that they don't post on him but anybody else. And maybe you're right when it comes to that, but any day I would take that, I would take all the liberal-sided news, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, in my back pocket over the National Enquirer. Nobody trusts that newspaper or whatever they call themselves. It's garbage. 90% of the stuff or 95% is garbage. So you put something.
Well, you're smart. You're smart because you know that. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that really, that truly, they see those headlines and they grab those papers. That's the, and that's, by the way, that's the only way that they make money. They don't make money on advertising. They make money on those last minute grabs at the supermarket aisle. That is a fact.
It's cartoons, people, because they get entertained by stupid things.
You're very optimistic about our society. I don't know. I'm starting to question.
Well, also, Joe, as much as you put down the National Enquirer, it sells more copies than most other journals, sometimes combined. So somebody's reading it out there. And why would they be reading it, Joe, just for sort of like to have a good belly laugh?
But they actually have broken some legitimate stories.
Yeah, well, the John Edwards thing.
Right.
They broke John Edwards, and boy, that broke his presidential aspirations. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Two women who had non-disclosure agreements with people representing Donald Trump over affairs he had with them early on when he was married to Melania. Have decided to bust loose and give all the nitty-gritty details. On the line to discuss it is Chris, who's calling from Belmore. Welcome to Juliet Huddy and Curtis Lee. We're here at WABC. Chrissy, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Juliet mentioned that, and I hope I get this right, that President Trump had a cozy relationship with, the National Enquirer, was it?
Yeah. Yep. Well, essentially with American media, which is owned by David Pecker, who I guess Trump has had a long lasting friendly relationship with.
All right. So, but let's think about Obama and the media in general, putting aside Fox News and talk radio. I mean, Obama, let's not pretend that the media wasn't in love with Obama. I mean, so it's hypocritical to say, oh, Trump is cozy with...
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to call out anybody, any media organization that purposely hides stories because they don't want to make their candidate, their guy, look bad. I mean, they shouldn't have candidates, but, I mean, we all know at this point they kind of do.
But you don't think that CNN and MSNBC would hide things about Obama? I mean, come on, of course they would. Look, Chris Matthews said, oh, I get a tingle up my leg when I hear about... Look, they were in love with Obama. I liked him, too. He was a nice guy. I didn't vote for him, but the bottom line is it's hypocritical.
Oh, no, it happens on both sides of... It happens on both sides of the aisle as far as, you know, media support. I get that. I'm not saying it's... I'm saying it's wrong. I'm calling out anybody. We're specifically talking about the Enquirer, though, today because of the story that came out.
No, I understand, but you did say, well, this is unique in terms of a president having this kind of a relationship. It's not unique.
Well, wait a second. I don't know of any publication that has ever spent their own money to buy silence from somebody.
That was my point. Yeah. I see your point, though. I get what you're saying,
Do you understand, Chris? This woman was coming forward. She was making accusations against City. And the company came forward and said, we want the exclusive rights to the story. We're going to pay you for that, but we're not going to do anything with it. It's really basically for our friend Donald Trump to keep this from ever seeing the light of day.
Sure, but Curtis, look, you're a hero in my book. You took on the mafia, everybody, right? Big cojones.
Sure.
So you know better than anybody, but you don't think MSNBC and people behind the scenes, these big corporations, would pay people to shut up about Obama or Clinton? Come on.
I think that if they did that, they would be done. I worked at Fox for 20 years. I worked at Fox. You didn't. We weren't bribing anybody to not do stories. It never happened. Never happened.
You don't think that? All right.
But Chris, doesn't it?
I'm telling you my experience. Right. I worked
Chris,
there.
You don't. But wait a second, Chris. You don't care if he had affairs, right?
Look, I think it. I don't. He's married, and I think it's terrible to do. Really, I do.
All right, but he's claiming it's fake news. Everything out of his mouth is it's fake news, even when it's true. This appears to be true.
That's BS. I think Trump has had multiple relationships, like many powerful people.
So he should just acknowledge, I had him before I was president. I promise you nothing of that kind of a situation will take place while I'm president.
Even if he did have it when he was at the White House, it's kind of like, I don't even care about that. I mean, I think it's gross.
No, you're so French.
But, well, no, not.
You're so English. You're an Anglophile.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think that affects his ability. I think it's, they're not mutually exclusive.
To blackmail. I mean, nobody seems to understand.
No, I get it. I get it. I do.
And particularly with the Russians getting indicted today, 13 national. Yeah, I know, ladies and gentlemen, you all thought that the Russian investigation was all about nothing. Grand juries indicted 13 because they were attempting to shape the election on behalf of Donald Trump. Now, the question is what Mueller has to figure out. Did they do it in tandem with the Trump campaign? But they're being indicted. And three Russian entities. So that means there has to be some documentary evidence here. So I would hope all of you, rather than saying fake news, like a president always does, would say, well, let me see what's in the indictment. Let me see who are the people indicted. And let me see what their responses are, because some of them may end up becoming cooperating witnesses.
I don't know what that caller's name was. I forget. But he made that point about, Fox News, CNN, he was ranting about it, but he was saying that he believes that, yeah, of course these companies are paying. Do you agree with that?
Well, they may be paying for guests to get exclusivity, which they all deny, or we don't pay for stories. But I don't believe those major outlets would pay on behalf of a candidate to buy a story so that it could never air again.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm not saying it's out of the question, the question of reality, because these days, it's like the world is turned upside down, in my opinion. But
anyway,
I don't think it happened.
You were on a flight. You've taken many across the pond to your favorite place, England, or it could be France or Germany.
Italy.
You're in flight for 8 hours, and a baby is wailing, crying, screaming, moaning, groaning for all 8 hours. Juliet Huddy recently came back from a trip to Italy, right?
I did. Yes, I did.
What airline did you take?
British Airways.
Okay, British
Fantastic
Airways. Figures as an Anglophile, you would take British Airways,
well,
not Alitalia.
We stopped in London on the way back.
Okay. And if you had taken a flight directly, let's say to Rome or Milan, it might have taken you how long?
It's about 7-8-ish hours.
Okay. So it would be similar to flying to Berlin or Hamburg in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you're on a Lufthansa flight. You're leaving JFK or Newark International Airport. Mm-hmm. You're on your way to Germany. And even before the wheels lift up on the tarmac and off you go into the wild blue yonder, this is what you hear. Now, this was not a temporary situation. This baby, which was out of control, was screaming, hollering, yelling for the full 8 hours of the trip.
There's a guy from New York, actually a fantastic artist named Shane Townley. He has a gallery here. Really good artist. He was on this flight. this poor man, and he was saying that this child was demonic. Now, I'm sure he's not trying to be really mean, but the kid was screaming and screaming and screaming and, you know, walking and standing on. I vowed I would never take Ambien again because it doesn't have a good effect on me, but I would be begging, please give me a handful of Ambien so I could just forget this is happening.
Lady, guy, why not give your kid Prozac? I mean,
what is it, baby Benadryl?
I don't know, but it's. I've been on flights.
I'd be a horrible mother.
Where I'm stuck in coach. You know, you're packed in there now. Airlines have you like sardines with no room to move.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they're babies who are acting up, and you understand it. I've been in flights with my own sons, and, you know, they were acting up, and you take them to the back, and you try to calm them down, play with them. I'll never forget, next to me, in the aisle next to me, this woman was having all kinds of problems with her kid. It's clear the father had no control of the baby. And so so the father says, maybe the baby wants Baba, you know, the Baba.
Baba, I had a Baba, yeah.
Okay, the mother gives the baby the Baba, and the kid all of a sudden winds up like he's Syndergaard and throws the bottle at the person in the front, conks him in the head. It's a full bottle. And then that exacerbated it, and the baby just kept wailing, crying, screaming. And it didn't matter. You could have earbuds in. You could be listening or watching TV, you know, that they have on board now. It didn't matter. The screeching, the screaming, it was just unbearable.
Well,
it's like being in class and your teacher, in order to torture you, has duct taped you to the seats and keeps putting the chalk.
Oh, stop. Okay.
That's right. On the chalkboard over and over again.
Oh, my thing is that if I were a parent and that was happening to me, I would hope that I would be doing everything I could to try to calm the kid down. But I'm so worried about not offending others, but just inconveniencing others. I'm very worried about that kind of stuff. So I would be the biggest stress case. An 8-hour flight, I would lose my mind if I was that parent. I would feel so terrible for that person, that parent.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners if they've had similar circumstances and what, if anything, was done to stop the kid from crying, because you have to believe 1 hour into the flight, many of the passengers are at the breaking point.
Oh, yeah.
Where if given the opportunity, give a parachute to the baby and tell the baby, out the door you go, hopefully you land.
To force the parents to give the baby a shot.
Viridian Island, somewhere out there in the Atlantic Ocean. Let's go to K-Man, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. K-Man.
Hey, how you doing today? I love your show. Listen to it all the time. But what I actually do is I carry a couple Benadryl if that ever happens. But, you know, you got to also feel bad for the mother, because I was on a flight with a mother with a baby who was crying because it had an ear infection. And the mother actually said to me, listen, if there was a way that I could jump off this plane right now with a parachute, I would. You know, it's a bad situation. Well, Mom, I do carry Benadryl, and I give them to parents because I fly quite often.
I was speaking in, it was Orlando at the time, at Disney World, for the Children's Miracle Network. I was the main speaker. I was flying in from Cape Town, where I had just graduated Guardian Angels and South Africa. And I met Mary, my wife at the time, with my oldest son, Anthony, who was just a baby. He had severe adenoid problems.
Oh, boy.
And apparently he had cried almost 2.5 to 3 hours that they were in flight. And that's when we realized he had a problem with the adenoids. Had we not known that situation, who knows, it may have gotten that much worse. But I can just imagine, if I had been on that flight, what could I possibly have done to calm him down?
In certain situations, there's nothing. And there's also kids who have behavioral problems that, you know.
They act out.
Yeah. I mean, my problem is when you let the kids go running up and down the aisle and they're smacking into you, and it's like, come on.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John and Elizabeth. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Johnny?
Hi, guys. Hi, Juliet.
Hey.
Anyway, back in the early 50s, my little brother was about 2 years old at the time. He'd go on these night crying jags and we couldn't sleep. Now, back in those days, you had the family doctor with the black bag. In fact, I remember his name, Dr. Giovanni. He came over to the house. He'd give my little brother a little dose of opium. That would take care of it.
Opium.
Oh, that'd put him to sleep.
Yeah, the kid liked it, you know.
Well, yeah, because remember, they used to have opium dens here in the lower part of Manhattan. in which they had all the what we would call Fleet Street, the equivalent in London, all the tabloids. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have a story at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they would tell the reporters, go to the opium den, hit the pipe, and pipe up a story.
Come on.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, my little brother grew up okay, you know. He became pretty successful. He's got a net worth a lot more than mine. I guess.
But he was an opium baby.
Not all about money, John. Not all about money.
Yeah, well, money helps.
Yeah, it does.
Well, no, look, I'm sure that was a remedy. Anyway, let's go to Brian in Paramus. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet here at WABC. Brian?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Brian.
This actually happened to me first 2 years ago. I was flying Air Italia with my son, and it was a night flight. We tried to get him a nap before we left off. We did everything. I did have Benadryl. And he started flying on takeoff, and I had three people literally get out of their seat, come over, pointing and screaming at me and my wife in Italian, and we had no idea what they were saying.
Oh, that's not fair. I mean, you have to be understanding of the parents who obviously don't want this to happen. They don't want their kid to be screaming. You know, little kids, if they're that young, they have the ear problems. They don't know to swallow, you know, or to yawn.
Sure, but Brian, were they calling you a sfacim, a schifosa?
Well, my wife is Sicilian, so she was getting a little red. So a stewardess comes over from first class, even though we were in coach, and tells him to sit down. She goes, look, this happens every flight. She brought us enough champagne to attend a wedding on that flight.
Nice.
And they gave us a row by ourselves all the way in the back with crayons, all the toys they sell in duty free. And after 2 hours, my son went to sleep. It's about management. You can't make the situation worse. We felt horrible.
Aww.
Well, you see, Alitalia took care of your bambino.
Good job for Alitalia.
Exactly. And you know what? I say this every time my friends talk about going on a trip. We're about to do it again with another two-year-old and Ethan, who's now five. And I tell people, I say, you got to expect the worst and just hope that you can handle it.
By the way, did you take any of that champagne, that champagne, and put it in the baba, the baby's bottle?
No, didn't get to that point, but I put it in my wife's glass about 10 times.
Anyway, our numbers.
But that was quite the flight.
1-800-848-WABC.
It's that high-pitched scream.
This bambino here. It's got a good set of pipes, right? For 8 hours on a flight from New York to Germany on Lufthansa. Let's go to Barry calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Juliet, Huddy, and yours truly, Curtis Sliwa. Barry?
It's Jerry, and I've been listening to you for 30 years, and I can't believe I'm calling today. But I was on a flight with my wife and my sister-in-law, kicking, and they sat in the row behind me with my 11-month-old or 12-month-old daughter screaming the whole flight. I was lucky to be in the row, but people were giving such dirty looks. I stood up and said, ladies, there must be something you could do about this child, please.
And then I
sat down. The people started clapping for me. It was so bad when I got off the plane. It was a ruined vacation because they would not talk to me for 3 days.
I kind of don't blame that. That would be sort of like comedic, you know, comedic humor injected at a very inappropriate time, but potentially very, very funny.
Well, I said to them, I did it so that somebody else meaner than me wouldn't stand up and scream at them. And it worked. I mean, people nodded and clapped, and then they were mortified, but I kept the heat off of them. That was my excuse for doing it. But
how long did that behavior continue on the flight?
Oh, the whole flight. And the sad thing was, it was the cabin pressure. They can't chew that age.
Yeah.
You can't give them a piece of gum. And when they don't chew, they get ear blocked, the air in their ear passages. And it's very, very painful, but they don't know how to move their jaw. And you need, you know, if they're not sucking on a bottle.
You know, a lot of parents, they immediately say, you didn't bring the pacifier?
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring the pacifier?
Yeah. Right. My daughter didn't use a pacifier. That she has beautiful teeth today. But you feel like a panic. You want to crawl into a hole. It's harder on the parents. I had one incident on a train where I was taking my son back from the hospital where a serious problem, and he had multiple injections. He was crying, and I said, "Well, you know, I hope you never have a child that has a heart problem that needs a painful procedure, because that's what my child is underway."
Wow, you have certainly had a wealth of experiences on this topic. But Juliet Huddy, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
And sharing with us your world traveling experiences.
Yeah, I'll give you the box of sex toys.
Freakazoid, Trendoid.